You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
With us on the line now is Amelia Mariette, who's an author, playwright, lecturer, curator and broadcaster, who holds a postgraduate diploma in museum and gallery studies. Her first non-fiction book, Walking into Alchemy, looks at the transformative power of nature. It's a personal account of recovery from depression, celebrating the therapeutic benefits of exercise in the great outdoors. Welcome to the show, Amelia.
Hello, Hannah. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us. And it's great to be able to speak to you now when we're basically allowed to go out now, because if we spoke a month ago, would have been very frustrating talking about the wonders of nature and the outdoors, because we've missed it, haven't we?
Absolutely. It's been really difficult during spring to be inside and not been able to enjoy it.
Yes. So the kind of lead up to this book, you've been through a pretty tough time. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, actually, I was a bit unfortunate. I worked in a museum as a keeper of art, and that was a fantastic job with a very large £15 million budget. But at the end of that process, of course, the money sort of runs out. And then when the money runs out, unfortunately, people, that like the curators, are not quite so needed. actually, they sort of said, do you want to take redundancy now after this sort of 7 years, and because we think we're going to struggle otherwise? And so I said, well, okay, I suppose I better take it. Luckily, I met my partner, Katie, and she's Austrian, and we decided to relocate to Austria. So I had a way out, but I was still quite depressed.
Mm. So how are you finding Austria?
Oh, my God, I absolutely love it. It was a very, very big decision. I was 49 when I left England, and I thought, my gosh, this is quite a big thing to do. But actually, we don't regret it. It's absolutely beautiful. It's monumental. It sort of feels huge. It's smaller, actually, than Britain, but it feels bigger because it's kind of sublime, you know, these wonderful mountains and great rolling hills. So I really love it. I'm very
wonderful.
Lucky.
So how do you feel that you were able to take yourself out of this depression then?
Well, I didn't really, I didn't have a job and I didn't have any money. And I'd always been defined by work, really. I'd been working for sort of 34 years already when I came here. And I didn't have any structure, really. And so when it got to winter, I thought it was lovely in the summer because, you know, you can do the garden and you can have barbecues and you can enjoy yourself. But I didn't really have anything to do with my time. So I started walking sort of accidentally and realized that I felt much better. And a lot of my worries were kind of beginning to feel more in focus. So I thought, let's walk a bit more. And the first walk that I did was in the 52nd week of the year. So I thought, why don't I walk every week for a year on the same walk, which I did. And the same walk was quite important because that, the repetition of that was really actually very helpful, the rhythm of it.
Mm. So tell us about that walk. What was special about it?
Well, it's very nice because I can walk from the house and you go up and you see so many different things. There's a wooded area and there's views of the Caravancan Mountains, and you have to go up quite high before you see that. So you get this treat, you know, you get rewarded. There's obviously hills, meadows, farmland, some very beautiful old houses. I found a very a beautiful mural on the wall of George and the Dragon, which I hadn't seen before. I just happened to see in a snowy landscape one day. So every time you went, you saw something new. And of course, wonderful in the spring when you've had nothing to really look at, and then suddenly you see little coltsfoot coming up, these little yellow flowers. And I had to learn about nature much more because I was seeing all this wonderful nature and I had no idea what I was really looking at. So that gave me a chance to research, and nothing I like better than research.
And how long was this walk? How far was it?
It's 13 miles, so it took me, the first time it took me about 6 hours, and then I sort of sometimes did it when it was very cold. I did it in 4 hours because I wanted to go home. And then in the summer, I realised that it was actually, the joy of it was not to do it quickly, but to actually do it more slowly, which was something I had to learn, you know. So then I would maybe take six, seven hours and stop and write along the way, or have a think or admire things. So the first time I was looking at the large picture, like the sky, and then I began to look at things sort of microscopically, which is so good for your mental health. You know, when you start looking at small things outside of your own mind, it's amazingly healing.
Gosh, and you were doing this once a week for a whole year.
Yeah, I did. And it was quite a discipline because there were times when I, you know, had to drag myself around, and a couple of times I didn't feel very well, so I either delayed it by a day or sometimes by a week, and then I would do two in one other week. So I didn't necessarily go like every Tuesday, you know, for a week, but I made sure that the plan was to do 52 in a calendar year, and I did manage that, which was quite hard in some ways, but it was a great discipline, to be honest. And it was the first thing I'd ever done I wasn't paid for, so to speak. You know, it was my thing, my job, my idea. So that was a new thing for me.
And it's amazing. I find it fascinating doing the same walk as well, because a lot of people would maybe perceive that to be a bit boring, especially when it's such a long walk, for it to be the same every week. Did you never thought, it'd be nice to do a different route?
Well, yes, in a way, but I think part of the trick of it really was that we all have, let's be honest, there's an element of mundanity about our lives. You know, we get up, we go to work, even if we've got a fantastic job, you know, like yours, there are certain times when you think, you know, maybe it'd be nice to do something different with my life. Whereas if you do actually the same walk, it's about learning to appreciate that repetition in life is not only necessary, but it's fundamental to what we do. And actually, if you can enjoy that and embrace that, it's actually really very, very useful way to see life. You start to look at things, look for the positive. You have to, because you think, oh, look, there's, you know, the sweet corn that was only sort of, you know, up to my knee last week is now up to my thigh. And that's exciting.
Yes.
And watching it develop and unfold it was kind of accidental, I'll be honest, when I started. I didn't necessarily mean to be so philosophical, but that happened. It came with the territory, you know.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I get that, actually. That makes a lot of sense. And as you said, being able to see something different each time. So much of it is to do with your kind of mental attitude on it. You know, if you're walking around going, oh, it's the same walk as I did last week, then you probably will hate it. But if you're sort of walking along with your eyes open, and I mean in every sense of the word, then you're really aware of your surroundings and it becomes a whole different experience.
Absolutely right. And one of the things I did as well is I asked a few friends of mine, do you think it would be okay if when I look at this view, it reminds me of a painting, and this particular painting, because I'd worked in an art gallery, and they said, well, put it in the book. So I make comparisons sometimes with a particular view that reminds me of either a famous or a not-so-famous painting, and then I describe it. And I was nervous about that at first because it felt a bit random and a bit weird, but actually everybody, I'm glad to say, they sort of quite like those parts. So I would sometimes, a particular cowbell would remind me of a piece of music. So I wrote one of my chapters is about that. So, you know, I try to keep it a little bit fresh for the reader. So it's not every day, you know, I saw a daffodil God, wow, you know, it's a little bit more exciting than that,
yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, fantastic. So how did you feel when the year was over and you'd done all the walks?
Oh, gosh, it was a very bittersweet experience, actually, and I was very, very lucky because I had a really, I went quite late in the day, and it was actually the 1st of January when I actually did the very last walk in the same calendar year, and I went in the afternoon, and it was really quite sunny, and there was a golden light, and as I sort of walked, finishing the walk, there was my shadow was on the trees. I thought to myself, well, when I finish this, I'll be a completely different person, and all I'll leave behind is just my shadow in the landscape. You know, I haven't changed the landscape, but the landscape has changed me. And I just felt this kind of weight lifted off me, really, because I thought, well, I did it. And then, of course, I had to write the book, which was a lot more difficult. But I was so happy when I finished it and kind of elated, really. There were times when I didn't think I'd do it, you know, of course.
Yeah. Oh, well done.
Nice.
Amazing, amazing thing to do. So has it made you want to do another challenge?
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm definitely want to walk more now because, of course, I haven't been able to. I've been doing the garden for the last 3 months. The garden looks very nice now, though. I will definitely want to do more walks. And I'm also going to write a book about my father, who was in Austria in 1947. And I've got all his diaries and watercolours because he was an artist. So that will probably be my next book.
Oh, wonderful. How exciting. Well, it's been lovely to chat with you, Amelia. Thanks ever so much for joining us. If listeners want to get a copy of your book, it's available on our website in the TRE bookshop section. It's called Walking.
Thank you. Walking. Could I just ask one thing? I'm looking for a publisher who would like to publish it in German because lots of people are asking me and that would be absolutely marvellous. So if you're a publisher listening, that would be nice.
Okay.
Sorry to be cheeky.
Okay, no problem. Well, the book is called Walking into Alchemy, The Transformative Power of Nature, and it's by Amelia Mariette, who we've been chatting to. Amelia, thanks so much for joining us and congratulations on your achievement.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
You too.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.